have you ever had an experience of emotional numbness or feeling flat or just feeling so overwhelmed by whatever you were thinking and feeling because of some stress or a hard time that you're walking through that you just were like, I can't deal with this? And you kind of just turn your heart off, turn your mind off, turn it all off as a way to just get through the day. Well, today, I want to talk to you about emotional numbness, what it is, why we experience that as introverted Christian women, especially if you are also a highly sensitive person. And I also want to give you some practical things that you can do to overcome it. Welcome to Hope for the Weary Christian Woman. I'm so glad you're here. Have you struggled with feelings of anxiety, panic, fear, and despair because life is just too hard? Are you tired of feeling like you're desperately trying to claw your way out of a pit of hopelessness? Do you want a relationship with God that is deep, real, and intimate? Something to give you the hope that you need to keep trusting God? Well, take a deep breath. I got you. If you're struggling to trust God because life is so stinking hard, if you feel like there's no hope, no way out, and no point in even praying about it anymore, if you are weary from the struggle and trying to do all the things and just want something to go right in your life, or at least for it not to get worse, this is the podcast for you. I want you to know that as long as God is on the throne, it's not time to throw in the towel. There is hope and rest for your weary heart, even when everything in your life is going wrong. How do I know that? Because I found it. Hey there, I'm Latoya Edwards, and I'm no stranger to hard times. But after walking through decades of hard times, I was so weary in my soul, and I felt like I was trapped in a pit of despair. I was frustrated, angry, and hopeless, and I was tired of waiting on God. I was overwhelmed, burnt out, and spiritually exhausted. Turns out, that's exactly where I needed to be to hear from God. During a season of forced rest, I learned more about my identity in Christ and how I was created to connect with Him. And then I was able to start my journey that led from a soul full of despair to being able to say, it is well with my soul. And I even learned how to enjoy life and dream again despite the difficult circumstances of my life. And guess what? You can too. You can find the strength you need to keep going even when things continue to get worse. The peace you need in your mind to stop being overwhelmed with negative thoughts and emotions. You don't have to stay weary. If that sounds like something you need, you're in the right place. I can't wait to help you find renewed faith, a peace-filled mind, and restored hope. Let's get to work. I remember last year when I was kind of right in the middle of like my really, really hard time, really deep in the pit, really having a hard time of just doing life and reaching out to a friend, looking for some help, looking for some support. And I kept explaining to her that I just felt flat, right? And then my first session in therapy, I said the same thing. I just feel flat. I just feel flat, right? Like I'm not feeling any highs. I'm not really feeling any lows, or I'm having really, really low lows. And then a good day is flat. And I really didn't understand why that was happening. And I was having a hard time figuring out what to do about that. Well, I have since learned that there is a term for this. It's called emotional numbness. And it is very, very common for introverts to experience this, especially those of us that are also highly sensitive. All right. So the reason that this happens is it's basically a coping mechanism for dealing with life. Okay. We've talked about as introverts and as highly sensitive people, right, that we feel things really, really deep. We have strong empathy. We have strong compassion. And so when we feel something, we really feel it. And that can be really overwhelming when you are walking through something hard, especially when it's your own stuff, right? I think sometimes we can manage a little bit better when it's other people's stuff. But when it's your stuff, it really can be challenging. And so I want to begin this conversation just explaining a little bit about what emotional numbness looks like. Now, again, I'm making general statements based on my own personal experience and some research that I've done. So if you don't check every single box that I mention, that doesn't mean that you're not experiencing emotional numbness. If you have something on this list that I didn't mention, that doesn't mean that you're not experiencing emotional numbness. Okay. I just want to give you a general idea. And I want you to take this information and see how that can apply to you. All right. So the first thing is that what emotional numbness is basically using other stuff to change how you feel without actually dealing with the issue. All right. So if you are walking through a health crisis, you might like over shop instead of actually dealing with whatever feelings are coming up for you around this health crisis. Okay. And so what this often looks like is over fill in the blank, right? So this, you can see this with alcohol, right? Over drinking. We see this with TV, like just overindulging in screens, you know, as a way to check out from reality. Overeating, right? Overworking, just over exercising. Whatever it is, it's too much of something to help you avoid what you actually need to be dealing with. Anytime that you're having this problem, right? You need to like pause, evaluate, and get it in check because it's actually not healthy for you. Another a thing that happens with emotional numbness is that you don't have interest in the things that you used to enjoy. So maybe you're somebody that loves, you know, music, and you love to go to concerts and you love practicing instruments and singing and all of these things. And you find yourself just not interested in any of that. That can be a sign of emotional numbness, okay? I want to just pause here really quick, and I want to point out that a lot of this stuff could also be depression, right? Some of these things are symptoms of depression. And so I always, always encourage you to get that checked out, to take the time to go to your mental health, you know, provider, your doctor, whoever it is that's involved in your, you know, your care, and get that checked out and get that evaluated. Because while yes, the things that I'm going to share can help, like they are helpful for the general population, if you have some other things that are going on, you really, really need to address that with your doctor before like taking my advice. Because like if you're really depressed, which is, you know, where I ended up, like none of this other stuff was going to work because I was too depressed and I needed to deal with that and get treatment for that before this stuff would work. So hopping back off the soapbox. So another a way that emotional numbness can show up is that you feel distance from others. And this is not because you are distant from others. It's just that you're having a really hard time engaging and connecting with the people in your life, right? So the people that would be your safe people, your go-to people, you know, on a quote unquote, like normal day or normal situation, you are feeling distant from them. Like, oh, nobody understands. I can't connect with anybody. Those kinds of things. So also that feeling flat emotionally that I talked about, where you just feel blah all the time. Like I'm not having any highs, I'm not having any lows, and I'm not like flat as in everything's good. I just am like, I'm here, like I'm existing. That flat feeling is, I think, probably like one of the biggest signs of emotional numbness. You also might be in a situation where you are preferring isolation versus being with people. And I know that that sounds a little counterintuitive because I'm talking to introverts, and as introverts, we don't like being with a lot of people anyway, but this is not that, right? I am probably the most introverted person that most of the people in my life know. And I have my friends and my close circle that I enjoy being with, okay? This year, one of my close friends and I are doing this thing. We're going to a new taco place every single month to get out and try things, right? I like hanging out with her. She's my friend. I love her. When we are dealing with emotional numbness, like you don't even want to be around your safe people. You don't want to be around the people that are in your house. This is what this is talking about. And then the other thing is difficulty experiencing positive emotions. So you're having a hard time feeling joy, you know, or excitement or those kind of things. Like I said, you know, that flat feeling, right? You're not really high, you're not even really like low, right? So like feeling the low lows is a lot better than feeling nothing at all. So these are all just different ways that emotional numbness will show itself in your life. And so now that we kind of have a picture of that, you know, we can begin to look at the why. Like, why do we go numb? Like, why is this something that we go to when things are hard? And then we're going to end up our time talking about how to manage it. So why do people go emotionally numb? Why is it that introverts and highly sensitive people kind of default to this emotional numbness when things are hard? Well, like I said before, it's a coping mechanism, right? It's a way that we cope and deal with stressful situations and stressful seasons. But at its core, it really is our way of protecting ourselves, right? It is protection from trauma. It is protection from negative emotions. It is how we keep ourselves safe, right? This is too much for me to handle, which is normal. Like if you're having trauma or you're in crisis mode, it is too much for you to handle. That's a normal response. And so we try to protect ourselves from that, right? Because again, we're feeling it so deeply. We're just wired that way that we, our emotions are really, really deep and they can be overwhelming and we don't want to live like that. It's really dang near impossible to, you know, really exist and live like that. And so we just kind of flip the switch. It's like, well, I can't deal with that. So I'm going to flip the switch in order to protect myself from that. All right. And the problem, and sometimes that's fine, right? Like in a moment of crisis, if you are in an emergency situation and there's things that need to be done to make sure that the people involved are safe and you are safe, like in that moment, going numb, like turning that switch off so you can focus is absolutely appropriate. Sometimes we have to do that, right? Sometimes I have to pause like my downward spiral to go and deal with my children because they need something from me. But the problem is that you can go numb for too long, okay? Like if you are numb for a year, that's too long, right? If you're numb for a month, that's too long, right? If you are going numb for so long that you're just not dealing with whatever that thing is, that's a problem, okay? And the other problem that I have seen, and I have experienced this too, is that you numb either too many of your emotions or all of them. Like, and that's where I was after years and years and years and years and years of trying to cope with hard things. I numbed everything, right? The only emotion that I could feel was despair. Like everything else was numb. Like I didn't have hope. I didn't have joy. I didn't have peace. I didn't even really have anger. Like I just was like, nope, I'm just flat or despair. And when despair gets to be too much, I go back to flat. So I keep telling, like I say this a lot, right? Like we have feelings for a reason. God gave us our emotions and our feelings for a reason. And we need to have them. We need to experience them. And if you are having a hard time managing your emotions, like we need to get help and support for that. All right. So like, why else do we go numb? Sometimes it's poor mental health, okay? And this was me, right? All of these things are me. Like last year, when I was deep into depression and really struggling with anxiety, I didn't have the bandwidth or the resources within myself to like be mentally healthy. And because I had poor mental health, I was like, I can't deal with these things. And so I flipped that switch and went numb because that was the only way that I was going to be able to function. And even though I was functioning at like probably below the bare minimum, like that's what I could manage. And so sometimes when we have poor mental health going on, it's going to make that more likely for us to go numb. And again, go get help. Talk to a mental health professional. Talk to your doctor. Go to therapy. Do whatever it is that you need to do to support yourself and care for yourself, for your mental health, because it really is important and it makes so many things easier and better, right? Like get the help that you need. So the other reason why we often go numb is because we just, in general, we don't cope well with stress. Like we have really unhealthy habits, like I talked about before, where we do too much of whatever the thing is. Like we just don't cope well with stress. And that's an easy fix, right? You can learn how to cope with stress. But if you don't know how to cope with stress, any little amount of stress can send you into emotional numbness, right? It doesn't always have to be big things. It can be small things. So lacking that ability to cope with stress is another reason why we go mentally numb. And sometimes like life is just too hard. And like poster child for that, I think is me. Like when life is just too hard and I just can't, like I can't, like even like opening my eyes in the morning and starting a new day is just too much. It's just too hard to do life. It's easier to go numb. It's easier to not feel those things than it is to try to walk through your day and walk through your life carrying all these really deep and heavy emotions and feelings. So now we come to, we know kind of what emotional numbness looks like. We know why we go numb. And so we want to begin to think about what can we do to manage that. So I'm going to give you a new term, and it's called distress tolerance, okay? And what distress tolerance is the ability to manage your emotions when stressful seasons, like in stressful situations and seasons, okay? And so the way that we can manage or combat emotional numbness is to increase this distress tolerance. the lower your tolerance is, right, the more difficulty you're going to have coping with stressful situations. The higher your tolerance is, the easier it is for you to manage your stress. So I hope that makes sense, right? And just a side note here is you want to take some time to actually evaluate your ability to manage stress, to get like a realistic picture of what your distress tolerance is, because we can often think that we have like a high distress tolerance. Like I would have like probably sworn up and down before last year that I had a really high distress tolerance, because people always say, oh, like you are so strong, you handle stress so well. Well, I actually wasn't handling the stress well. I just was numb. And so I wasn't like falling apart or freaking out. And so it looked like I was handling stress well. So be careful that you're not mistaking your emotional numbness for a high distress tolerance, right? We want to be really honest and be really clear. And I want to give you some ways that you can actually increase this distress tolerance, okay? So number one, I want you to give yourself permission to own your feelings without judging yourself, okay? If you are angry, own it. If you are depressed, own it. If you are flat out miserable with every aspect of your life, own it. And don't judge yourself. Don't shame yourself or critique yourself for how you feel, okay? Just, this is how I feel. You've got to acknowledge it if you want to deal with it, okay? So own those feelings. No judgment allowed. Just own it. Name it. This is what's going on. This is how I feel. Then the next thing that I want you to do is to feel the feels. I say this a lot, right? Feel the feels. Whatever you are feeling, feel the thing. Like if you are angry, feel it and be angry. If you are sad, feel it and be sad. I don't know like where this idea that like it's a sin to be angry, it's a sin. Like feelings are not a sin. They're just feelings, okay? They're just feelings, right? Now, you can act on those feelings and that action can be sinful, but your feelings in and of themselves are not sinful. God gave them to you, okay? Like when scripture says, be angry and sin not, that's exactly what it means. Be angry. It's okay to be angry. What's the problem? When you act on that anger in sinful ways, okay? Be angry, but don't sin. Be sad, but don't sin. Be miserable, but don't sin. Be lonely, but don't sin, right? Whatever you're feeling, feel it all. Feel it deeply so that you can process it and work through it. Because the reason that you're going numb is because you're overwhelmed by those feelings and you don't know what to do with them. So name them, feel them so that you can process and deal with them. And this is a great place for, again, counseling or therapy is a great place to process your feelings. Coaching is a great place to process some of these things. You know, counseling is going to help you kind of look into your past and heal some things so that you can move forward. Coaching is more about growth. So when I work with clients and we're looking at feelings and their thoughts, like I'm not trying to help them resolve something in their past. I'm giving them tools on how to identify their thoughts and line them up with the Word of God so that they can move forward with their lives and have peace and joy and hope and all those things. So if you're interested in learning about more about that or working with me, LaToyaEdwards.net/coaching. Okay. It's what I do. I'm going to help you look at all the thoughts that are going on in your mind. I'm going to help you name them, right? And we're going to take thoughts one at a time and we're going to learn how to renew your mind so that you can like have the right mindset, increase this distress tolerance, right? And have the peace and joy and hope and strength and all the things that you need. So check that out if it's something that sounds helpful. Number three, in dealing with your stress levels and increasing your distress tolerance is to know your triggers. I feel like I say this one a lot too. Know the things that trigger you to feel certain things. Know what it is that's going to cause you to start that spiral into the pit of despair. Know what it is that's going to trigger you to want to overeat, drink, whatever it is that you overdo when you're, you know, overwhelmed. Know what it is that's going to cause you to not be able to cope with life well. Know what you can't handle so that you can have a plan on how to, if you, you know, get triggered, right? If it starts to, you know, affect you, that you can get back to a more healthy position, or know what your triggers are so you can recognize it before it becomes a problem. Like I, after goodness, it's been a year almost a year, right? Of like just therapy and working and really working on my mental health. I'm finally to the place where like, I know what my triggers are. I know like when this happens, my tendency is to feel and think this, and I can catch myself before it spirals into the pit of despair. And sometimes I'm able to actually avoid it altogether, where I don't even have to deal with it. So know your triggers, right? Keep track of them, learn about what these are so that you can have a plan on how to care for yourself. And the, I think, kind of the more practical way, and maybe the more fun or quote unquote easy way of managing emotional numbness and increasing your distress tolerance is simply do more of what lowers your stress and less of what makes it go up. All right? Really simple. So what is it that helps you to feel calm, to relax, right? To wind down? What is it that helps you to feel safe and feel like yourself? What do you enjoy doing? Do more of that. What are the things that are stressing you out? Do less of that. Now, this is not permission to like avoid all people at all costs. That's not possible. But I want you to think of it like things like exercise. Okay. Exercise across the board. I don't care who you are. Exercise is a great way to lower your stress levels. Journaling is a great way to lower your stress levels. You know why? Because you're kind of going through all the things that I said before of figuring out how you feel and, you know, what's going on, what your triggers are and like dealing with it. It's a great tool to lower stress. Just getting outside. When I am having a really rough day, I will go for a walk, right? And if I can't like manage to go for a walk because like it's just my little guys at home, I don't have anybody to watch them, I will just go stand outside. Just go stand outside in the fresh air, in the sunshine. It works wonders for mood and wonders for your stress level. Sleep, making sure that you're getting adequate sleep. Okay, we are not robots. We can't just run, right? We need 7 to 9 hours of good sleep. So whatever you need to do to get the rest that you need, figure that out and make it happen, okay? Reading. Reading is something that I enjoy that can really lower your stress. Now, don't read like a suspense or a psychological thriller or a horror story or anything like that that's going to like, you know, make you stressed out. But reading, it's a great way to just like get your mind off of your stuff and just take some time out and chill. I like to paint, right? I enjoy painting or like going to museums and looking at art. Figure out what are the things that are going to lower your stress. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention like prayer, just sitting alone, you and God, talking to God, you know, pray, worship, like maybe it's going to church, you know, whatever it is that's going to really support your faith and support your spiritual growth, that's going to help you connect with God. All of these things are ways to decrease your stress levels. Okay. I know that times are hard. I know that so many of us are facing like impossible situations, but we don't have to walk through those things in misery, in despair, feeling alone, like being numb, right? God doesn't want us to live life walking around dealing with emotional numbness, right? He wants us to have a full and abundant life, and that includes feeling all the things that he has created us to feel. So I hope that something in today's episode was encouraging and informative for you, just to really help you make some changes so that you can move forward and begin to just manage your stress well and deal with your emotions in a way that is healthy. I hope you were blessed and encouraged by today's episode. I pray it inspires you to draw closer to God. If so, would you stop and share this episode with someone that you know that's feeling weary right now? It would also be a huge blessing to me if you could leave a 5-star rating and review in your podcast player. This will help women just like you find the show. Thank you so much for joining me today. And remember, sometimes life just plain sucks, but God is always there with you. Rest in that truth and find hope for your weary soul.